Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We got a great show for you guys today on Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry on KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. All right. If you want to hear about the shows, if you want to get a copy of them, you could go to www.kruufm.com. There is one place. And then, Nicole, they could also go to the Ardent Center. Can you spell that for everyone?
Ardent, sure. That's A as in apple, R as in rope, D as in dog, E as in elephant, E N as in Nancy, and T as in Tom, the Ardent Center.
So, ardentcenter.com.
Absolutely.
So, yes, put the center after that.
Yeah, sorry about that, people.
And then go to the media tab, and you'll see the shows there. Or you could go to the YouTube channel, and that's actually the full name, which is Ardent Counseling Center, and you can just type that out and find shows there. Anyways, but it's pretty cool. I'm really digging how they did those YouTubes and the videos of those. So they're really kind of neat. All right. So on today's show, we have our special guest. Pamela's back today.
All right. Hi.
So Pamela's here today, and she's going to tell us about, she promised she's going to come back and tell us about her book. And we're going to somehow figure out how this relates to mental health. But Pamela, tell us who you are. And should we just, you were telling us last time about this great school that you were at, that you created to teach computer science. So the school actually creates, teaches computer science to, originally for impoverished kids, but now it's really, you said 16 to 40 people ages come, and it's really for all people, impoverished or non-impoverished, to come and learn computer science skills in India.
Yes, we have already spoken on that school in India. That's a wonderful place, actually, and I would call magical place.
I like magical.
So thanks for that. So today I'm here to talk about my book, which I have just released with Lambert Publications from Germany. They released my book. It is on design and development of English to Sanskrit machine translation. There's something very exciting about this book. As the name suggests, this book has two very, very cute languages. One is English, another one is Sanskrit. See, English is what? We all speak English, and English is a modern-day language. When I started this research, I just had this idea that can I connect this modern-day language to an ancient language, which is Sanskrit? Why Sanskrit? Because Sanskrit is very rich in literature, and reading Sanskrit makes you a real, gives you a real nice and warm feeling about being a human being. And so I just thought if I can develop something or if I can translate some of the text from Sanskrit to English, it can help many of the people around the world. Sanskrit gives you a very good knowledge on Ayurveda, which is related to the nature's cure of your problems. So knowing Sanskrit will help you, actually.
Okay. So, and it's this beautiful ancient language, Sanskrit. So for those of you who don't know, I know in Fairfield, everybody's like, how can you not know about Sanskrit? But this show doesn't just go over to Fairfield. This goes literally around the world. And there's people who pick this up on YouTube and all kinds of places. So,
well, the journalist in me just came out. So yes. I'm like, so Scott, can you tell people why everybody in Fairfield knows a little something about Sanskrit?
Well, okay. Well, you say it.
Well, there's a very wonderful university here, and it's called Maharishi University of Management. Mm-hmm. And here, students are studying consciousness-based education, and that education has its roots in India. And so that's why a lot of people here might be interested in Sanskrit.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know some people love this place, and some people hate this place, and some people are, you know, there's, everybody gets lost in opinions,
right?
Or nuances that, no, it's not related to India, and it truly isn't. It's really an independent place. But what's really fascinating is how are we all getting lost in our biases? And we're going to do a show soon on cognitive bias and how that played out in the presidential election. And it's still playing out in terms of false news and in terms of what does things mean and not mean. But on the flip side of that coin, what does true knowledge really mean? So if we talk about false knowledge, right, like these made-up stories like it's real, well, what is true knowledge?
Actually, see, this Sanskrit language is definitely from India. We talk about enlightenment. So the enlightenment comes from within your own self. It reminds me that somebody asked Maharishi that you have so many followers. Do you know how many followers you have? He was such a great man. He said, I have no followers. They are the followers of their own experiences in total consciousness, actually. Wow. They're following their own experiences. So I don't have any followers. This language, Sanskrit, see the exciting part, this language was synthetic, that was made in the year 2500 BC. And I was trying to connect this language to this 21st century language, English, so that we can have that treasure of that language into this century. Why? Because this language talks about manifold development of a human being. Be it health, be it education, be it how to have proper food for your own self, how to pray. So you have so many different. This language gives the literature written in this language gives you answer for so many questions.
So I have a question. Whenever you say connecting it to the English language, are you meaning connecting it? Whenever you use the word connect, are you meaning just to translate it into English, or could you give us more of an explanation of what you mean by the word
connecting? That's a good question. Actually, connecting means like you can get translation in English so that many people can get benefited, because see, English is the language that is being followed by a huge population around the world actually, and B, when you can understand that language. That at that point of time, you can have advantages of that which that language offers you, actually. Okay. So that is the beauty of that language.
Wow.
And why would somebody... So I get what you're saying about the value of it, about being connected to this language, because this language has a pathway to connect to your soul in a different way. And it's a way to understand this ancient knowledge in a... You know, just like you might want to learn ancient Greek or Latin in a certain way, because it might connect to your spirit in a certain way, but also understanding, for instance, Latin might tie you in to be able to understand text more. So I just came back from a trip to Israel, and understanding Aramaic or Hebrew is a way to understand, for instance, if you're Jewish or if you're Christian
right.
What's the real translation? People get caught up in, you know, I won't go into controversy about translations here, but there are certainly...
Well, even nuance, they get caught up. I can tell you, just coming from a Protestant background.
Yes.
I see a lot of Protestants who have gotten caught up in the nuances of text that may have been translated many, many, many times. And
yes.
So they're looking at words that might not always have been from the original.
Right.
So,
and so if that means something... Are we getting caught up in that? Or, you know, and then what does that meaning really imply?
See, the meaning really implies that, that's a really nice question, actually. Meaning really implies that if you are looking for some answers to some questions, for example, you want to know how can you improve your health, say mental health or any, and I mean, even at the same time, you don't want to take those bitter pills or allopathy medicines, which we all suggest in the modern day world. And as they say, nature helps. We want to know how does nature helps us to cure ourselves. This answer you can get in Sanskrit literatures. So like that is in Ayurveda, which tells you that your body should be in harmony to the nature. And how can you be in harmony with the nature? How can you can be a better and healthy person? And at the same time, a happy person. The happiness is something that really matters, actually. So connecting that by connection, the connection is a word which has many meanings, actually, or many connections, many relationships. Basically, it goes with your health, it goes with your education, it goes with your lifestyle. And if you are in harmony with all of these, definitely you are a happy person, actually. And finally, we all seek happiness.
Boy, don't we all seek happiness.
Yeah, right.
I know I do.
But I really like this notion of, again, that sort of bigger picture of, like, not just what does something mean, but what's the contextuality around it.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
by, for instance, again, the example of Hebrew or Aramaic, you know, a certain phrase about Jesus or about Mother Mary could be easily mistranslated, or about the snakes, or, you know, or understanding, okay. But to me, in the Reformed Jewish world, for example, I'm not as concerned with, did Noah actually exist, and is this the exact translation of that? What I'm interested in is understanding what they're really trying to say.
Right, what is the story? What's the meaning? Gaining the meaning from the story.
And then what is,
right.
Yeah, exactly. And then right. What is that, and then how can I utilize that
today,
right? So understanding that story, the implications of that, and what's the possibilities of what that means?
See, this can be seen as a small tool. This language translation thing can be seen as a small tool, or say a small step towards heading towards a big goal. And that is, like, how can you reach to that literature? A, B, if I just take you back to the topic of health and happiness, in some, like, what happens? You have these doctors who are following Ayurveda. And that case, you need not to be talking in the same language with the doctor, because doctor won't talk to you. He will simply try to have your pulses and try to know what is wrong with you. Once he figures out what is wrong with you, he will give you certain prescriptions. And once he gives those prescriptions, you can always translate those, or he might knows English, or you can translate with this tool and know how doctor has diagnosed you. Maybe you can agree with the doctor, this person who was looking your pulses, and say, yes, doctor, I have these problems. You would be surprised to know this doctor is so experienced that when he takes your pulses, he knows your history, actually. What was wrong with your physiology from the last few years? So this language can be taken as a tool to step towards this, this whole wholesome knowledge of happiness and health, actually.
So, in a sense, the tool, and I have some questions about that in a second, but this tool, actually, the mental health aspect is not just, okay, in translation, I could have a better sense of what's going on, but I also am empowering myself to have more control over my life and what I know, and what it's not just. I think sometimes it's kind of like people look up in the internet before they go see the doctor, and then they get all this misinformation.
Sometimes.
Yeah, all right. So sometimes.
All the time.
And we're often getting misinformation.
Right.
Are we getting it from from reliable sources?
Right.
Again, this false knowledge again. Mm-hmm. What's real knowledge? What's false knowledge? And learning from Facebook. Facebook, by the way, is not a reputable source, everyone. That is not true, okay? And even reading it in an article somewhere doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily mean it's not biased.
Right.
So you have to read it from the source and then get how that source was generated.
I just want to add one thing, that let's put it in a right way. I just mentioned you're going to an Ayurveda doctor who is giving you medicines which don't have any side effects. At the same time, it is trying to heal your body, and it is not giving you any medicine which will say, oh, if I take this medicine for cough and cold, it might affect my kidney. That won't happen to you. But at the same time, you want to know, what was the terminologies that the doctor was using and what he was talking about. Okay, then I have this tool to know about,
right,
it.
And I also have some understanding about
that.
What's
is a basic
on.
Thing, yes.
But let's not even go there. Let's just say literature itself, like we're talking about the translation, mm-hmm. it gives me access to this ancient body of knowledge. And even if those stories come up, we want to think of them as metaphorical, mm-hmm. or not literal stories, but stories that have a greater meaning. How can I really learn from it? Well, by having access to the truth, so to speak, of what's really behind it, what is really being said, so I know what I want to do with it, gives me power and control to. So in translation, something's always lost. And so if I could learn how to get a better tool to get to source, whatever that is, right?
Yeah, that is true. That is true. This tool gives you a better, this tool gives you a base, it will take you an inch near to that, your goal, what is your goal is, and definitely it will help you in that. So maybe it can give you, like the idea is to have the whole access of that Sanskrit, vast Sanskrit literature into English, so that it many, many more people can be benefited, actually. That is the idea.
Okay. By the way, you listen to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial, Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. Today we're talking with Nicole and Pamela about Pamela's brand new book about English to Sanskrit translation.
Yeah, it is Design and Development of English to Sanskrit Translation,
here,
actually.
You say that, Nicole.
So
in case for some reason they couldn't understand Pamela's lovely accent.
Okay, give me just one second.
Because my ability to speak is limited. Okay. So the other question that I'm going to ask is, Pamela, is this simply a book? But given your computer background, why aren't you making this into a program that I could just type in English and Sanskrit will pop out, or vice versa?
Coming over this whole,
you know, you be Google Translate.
Let me inform you, Google is not giving you anything in Sanskrit, actually. You can really go and check, actually.
Wow.
Well, that's why I'm saying this might be a really... I mean, you do have a doctorate in computer science.
Yes.
And if somebody's going to be able to do this, why not you?
Yes.
See, this research is
very... I'm sure it's a small project. It's nothing. It won't take you more than a week to get done.
I just want to add one thing. This research is very... is very challenging and interesting, because this research not only involves the knowledge of computer science, it does involve the whole knowledge of English and Sanskrit. So that means to develop this tool, I have to go through the Sanskrit grammar, which is supposed to be very tough. And if you are studying Sanskrit grammar, it will take 12 years for you to study the whole Sanskrit grammar. So
When did you start studying the grammar for Sanskrit?
So yeah, I was just coming to the point. Being in India, I had this advantage of reading Sanskrit in my school days. But seriously, I started taking this language during my research years. So you might notice that I took around 7 years to complete the research, actually.
Wow.
So by the way, for those of you who don't know, Sanskrit's an ancient language that often people in India learn, but it's not like you're growing up speaking it every day, and you didn't grow up speaking Sanskrit, and it wasn't like common tongue like Hebrew now is in Israel. So what language did you was it Hindi or
yes Hindi
so Hindi is not Sanskrit, by the way, everybody.
Yes, Hindi is not Sanskrit, but I just wanted to share the most beautiful part about this language. The most beautiful part about this language is that, unlike all other languages, including Hindi and English, this language is not evolved with the civilization. This language has been written, this is based on a formula, on formulas, and you know, we have 4,000 formulas on which this language is based. Yeah. You can appreciate this point from this fact that a mobile phone, which is an invention of 20th century, Sanskrit language can give you the name for that mobile phone, because it is based on formulas and root words. So you can always derive a name for this new invention, which you have in 21st century,
amazing,
actually.
Amazing.
And all its names are so connected. B, you know, the best part of about this language, English, Hindi, all have something known as subject, verb, and object thing. Like, I am going to speak. So that is a subject, verb, object. But in Sanskrit, if I translate this sentence into Sanskrit, and even if I jeopardize with a subject, verb, object, the meaning won't change. It is so well written off, actually. This is a synthetic language, which is based on, and I would call it, this is a scientific language, actually. That feature drew me closer to this language.
It's really fascinating, because in a sense, what you're saying is, and I could say that people who speak Hebrew, again, would make some similar interesting comments, but in a sense, what you're saying is, it's almost like music. Music is mathematics played out. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Right? and in a sense, you're saying Sanskrit as well, the beauty of it isn't just the sound value, it's also the meaning right? So there's sound and the meaning below it or connected to it.
Actually, yeah, I just wanted to add one more thing. This language is very, very sensitive and very sensible language. We talk about Hindi. You know, 85% of Indian languages are, Sanskrit is the mother of those 85% of Indian languages. These languages, be it Hindi, Gujarati, Bengali, or Telugu, or whatever, Sanskrit, they all have derivation from Sanskrit. So this language, you can appreciate this fact that this language is so rich that it is mother of so many languages in India, actually.
Wow.
And you see, the best part about this is that even if you are not following the strictly verb order thing, you mean the same thing. This language qualifies to be a machine language or interlingua. So that is what my next level of project is. To project this language as an interlingua, so that any sentence that goes to from English to Sanskrit, you can now the Sanskrit can be mapped to multiple target languages like German, French, English, Hindi, or many more languages. So that at a time you can have so many translations for one sentence in English.
And I did want to get the title of the book really quick for everyone. And what I've got is Design and Development of English to Sanskrit Translation.
Mm-hmm. By?
And that is by Dr. Pramila Badahor.
Okay. And she's writing more things for you.
It's on Amazon, actually.
It's on Amazon.
So on Amazon, you just...
All right. If you guys want to promote it, that's your okay. But, I'm just fascinated by what you're creating here and the implications for the future. And then when we start talking about mental health, in a sense, it's a similar kind of structure of attaching sound and meaning to the applications of what we can do with them.
See, connecting that to talking about mental health, I just read an article a few days back which said that if you are multilingual, you are somebody who is in great sync with your brain is really working fast. So that means, like, if you are somebody who knows multiple languages, your brain is really good wired, actually.
Well, absolutely. Well, certainly it's one of the best things you could do for a child is to raise them with multiple languages. But, you know, I also love the idea of, especially in a language like this that has such power and possibility in it and sweetness of spirituality that we could all connect to on such a deeper level, having access and finding avenues of access for all of us, I think is just a very powerful thing. And so, I'm constantly thinking, finding those avenues.
Right. See, the beautiful thing is that it tells you not only about how you should be taking care of your own self, it also talks about how should you be taking care of your family, how should you be taking care of your society, what is your dharma, how should you be following it. And, you know, it is full of so many lovely and nice stories which say, like, if you have some time.
Yeah, please.
So, like, I can just share with you a very, very interesting story. This story is about a king. This king, announced in his kingdom that anybody, any potter who has any pots or any idols left in the evening, I will buy them. A potter comes in the evening to him with a statue of the goddess of depriveness. So, and she was a sister of goddess of wealth. So the king asked that, why did you make this idol of depriveness? He said, king, I have made this idol. Nobody is buying it. Now, can you buy it? So the king said, no, this is my dharma to buy it because I've already announced and you are my subject. King bought this idol of depriveness.
Depriveness
means, like, this is the idol of a goddess who was, if you have that idol or a statue, you won't have wealth in your house, you would be poor, actually.
Okay, and so you'd want
to... tell us, why would someone want to be poor?
That is the point, actually. Okay. This person made this statue and the king said, nobody wants to buy this statue because if you buy this statue, you would be poor. But the king said, I would follow my dharma. And I have promised that I will buy it.
So I will buy it.
So that was a matter of dharma, actually. The king was trying to go with his words. He's already committed. So now see what happens next. In the evening, the king's in the late night, the king sees that a very beautiful lady is leaving the palace. He goes and asks him, "Why are you leaving my palace?" The lady says, "I am the goddess of wealth. You have already got my sister, who is the goddess of poor. So, like, our deprivedness. I cannot stay if she is here." So, king says, "Okay, you can go." Then he says his popularity is leaving the palace. They say, the king asked, "Why are you leaving the palace?" They said, "Because we are with the wealth and wisdom. If she is leaving, we would also leave." Then the king saw a very old man with long beard and grey hairs, and he was also leaving. The king said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Dharma." The king got hold of his hand and said, "You cannot leave me, because following you, I got that statue actually. I was following my Dharma. And if you will leave, I mean, how can you leave me? Because I have got the statue keeping you in my mind that I was following my Dharma." So then that old man said, "Yeah, you have a point, and I won't leave you." He came back. As soon as he came back, those who left earlier, like goddess of wealth and valor and wisdom, even they came in. So this is the beauty of this language. It teaches you how to lead your life actually, how to be in the society. So that was an idea, that if we can use this small tool to bring happiness or to make people more aware of so many things, I thought that would be great.
So I do have a question now, and some people in the audience might, not everybody is from Fairfield, not everybody is familiar with Sanskrit. Is that the language of the Bhagavad Gita?
Thanks. I'm so thankful to you for raising that point. That is the language of Bhagavad Gita, and that is where the Lord Krishna has given his preachings. What is your dharma actually?
So understanding that language gives us access to deeper wisdom.
Understanding that language gives us access to that. I really love that statement. That is so true. And Nicole, you just raised a point about Bhagavad Gita. See, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna himself tells his follower Arjun, you have to fight with these people, though they are your own brothers, but they are on the wrong side of dharma. And if anybody is on the wrong side of dharma, you should always go ahead and fight. You should not be biased by this fact that he is your brother or he is your sister or your own mother. Be on the right side of the dharma. And what is the right side of the dharma? We come to know with these various literatures that this language offers us, or literature books that have been written in this language actually.
Wow. In dharma, we often think of it as correct right action, but it's more than that, isn't it?
It is more than that. Like, what is your prime responsibility? Like, being a woman, I can say my prime responsibility goes with my children, my husband, my family, my profession, and I have to justify each of them. So, but the priority goes to the children first. So that is my dharma.
But it's also a way to work together in synchrony between those different roles.
Yes.
And as often I say to clients, when the mask falls down from the plane, who do you put it on first? Right?
Yes.
So you're all for your children. Do you put it on your children first?
The answer is yes. Why? Because...
No, you don't.
No, I see. The answer is yes. Why? Because they are the future, and they have many, many more years to live, actually.
But here's the psychological perspective is, no, you're actually got that backwards. Why is that backwards, Nicole?
No, don't ask Nicole on this question.
Because,
we want to hear from the PhD guy over here.
Because if I put it on my children and the plane goes down, they start freaking out and they pull off their mask and then everybody's dead. So you're dead and the kids are dead.
Wow.
You put it on yourself first so that I'm okay, mm-hmm. not to be narcissistic like other people we won't mention at the moment, but to sit there and say, I'm centered. Mm-hmm. I am taking care of self so that I can take care of others. Being there for my children means that I can take care of myself so that I can be a model for my children.
I'm not interrupting you, but the point is...
Please.
But the point is that is the foundation of Sanskrit. If you look into the persons, like in English, you have a first person, second person, and the third person.
Yes.
In Sanskrit, third person comes first. The guest who is coming to your place should get the topmost priority. That is what that language says. Then the second person is the people around you. That is you. That is your family. And the finally, what you have, your own self actually.
Yeah.
So in Indian society, they start thinking from their guests. So guests are like God. Treat them as God, and whatever you can feed them, you should feed them. Then you have your family, and then it is you, actually.
Well, in a sense, you could almost talk about that. Oh, well, we're out of time, so we'll talk about
it. Oh, no,
all
I have
right, come
to
back
say.
Next time, and we'll finish this story. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Bye.